Hello again and welcome to the Real Science Review of the Week. With no big science story this week, interest focused on the 50th anniversary of C.P. Snow's Two Cultures lecture. It's a way of looking at the world of ideas that took a firm hold right from the start, and it's as relevant today as when the science-educated novelist first pointed out the willfully woeful ignorance of the literary establishment, those self-appointed intellectuals who dominated academic discourse at the time but despised science. I would like to talk about this now since it's topical, if something that happened 50 years ago can sensibly be called topical. But although I've read endless comment on the two cultures, I haven't yet read Snow's original lecture, or the book that grew out of it. Once in a while I try not to talk about topics I know nothing about, so I'll reluctantly save any comment on the two cultures until I've read Snow's book, which I ordered this week. So what else have we got? Well, there are hobbits, turbulence, swine flu again, lots of astronomy and cosmology, extra funding for renewable energy, and maps of science and social science, the last of which also has a wee flavour of the two cultures from an interesting new angle. Let's start with the hobbits, the popular name for the race of little people whose fossils were found in 2003 on the island of Flores in Indonesia. Just how little they were, half our height and a fifth of our weight, can be seen from the startling photograph on the NOVA website, the second link in our resources section, as well as from the video of the bones, which is our first link. NOVA also has a bunch of other great resources, a video, an interview with evolutionary biologist Jared Diamond, and an Ask the Expert session with Bert Roberts from the University of Wollongong team that excavated and analysed the remains of the little people. This latest research on the shape of the Homo floresiensis feet provides more evidence that they were not like us. It's a jaw-dropping foot, says anthropologist Daniel Lieberman. It's one of a series of pieces of evidence that seal the deal for me, the deal in question being that these people were human, but a different species from us. Unlike our feet, theirs were not designed for running well. Although large for their body size, the feet had no arches. The hobbits, in fact, had flat feet. Not conclusive, of course, since so do plenty of Homo sapiens, including, I learned from Radio 4's news quiz, Sylvester Stallone, which is why Rambo in real life never fought in the Vietnam War. But it's one more piece of evidence for the by now pretty convincing different species hypothesis. So what are the big questions of these hobbits? There are several, but first let me point out the astonishing implications of the discovery. These people are human, but they belong to a different species from us. Every human alive on Earth today that we know of belongs to just one species. This means that you and I can have healthy babies together, even if I'm a Zulu from South Africa and you're an Eskimo from Alaska. Or I'm a guy from Cumnock and you're a girl from Auchinleck. It does happen occasionally. The hobbits are not like us, and having babies with them would have been very difficult, if not impossible. We'll come to that in a minute. But this different species of human shared the earth with us until just 11,000 years ago, and maybe later than that. So that now makes three different species of human that we know were living on Earth until modern times. The Neanderthals, the hobbits, and us. Incidentally, we really shouldn't be calling them hobbits because words are powerful. They create images in the mind. They lead us by the nose and they shape our thinking. When I hear the word hobbit, I see Merry and Pippin, cheeky, perky and appealing, being carried along in Treebeard's branches, smoking pipes, getting pissed, telling jokes and being brave. It's unlikely that Homo floresiensis did any of these things, except the brave bit. Because Homo floresiensis probably hunted Komodo dragons, which are up there in my top 5 list of beasts I don't want to be stuck in a lift with. The other 4, if you want to know, are slaters, big spiders, my ex-wife and Noel Edmonds. Komodo dragons are bad enough nowadays, but the Flores mob were extra large, weighing at 200 kilograms each. And the thing about Komodo dragons even today is that their mouths are home to deadly germs that make swine flu look like the friendly bacteria in a bottle they sell down the supermarket. So if a dragon bites you but you escape, you then die an agonising death days later from infection. Mind you, it still sounds better than Noel Edmonds. So the big question is, what happened to tough little characters that could work together to take on ferocious beasts like that? Did they die out through lack of resources or natural disaster? Were they wiped out by us? Did they interbreed with Homo sapiens in the early days before the two species grew too far apart? Might they be still around somewhere, hidden away in remote caves and woodlands? On that last point, nobody knows for sure, says Bert Roberts, but it's highly unlikely. My heart says yes, but my head says no, he says, because the chances must surely be vanishingly small. Diamond and Roberts agree on that. Where they disagree is on the question of what finished off the hobbits. Homo sapiens is a nasty piece of work, Diamond says, that wipes out most large animals it meets. Roberts' money is on the little guy. They'd been living in the island for millennia, he says, and would have known the lay of the land intimately. They had brains that could probably carry out advanced cognitive functions, and they were slaying dragons and half-ton elephants. Then we, Homo sapiens, land on the shore, unacquainted with the new land or with the habits and capabilities of these half-sized hunters. Who would you back in a fight to the death? So much for war, then. What about sex? Did Homo sapiens interbreed with Homo floresiensis? My bet is we did not, says Diamond, and here's why. Although they were small, they would have been tough, nasty characters. He then tells a story about a man attacked by chimpanzees, another cute-seeming relative of ours that can be every bit as vicious as we can. They pulled off his nose and attacked his eyes. They chewed off his fingers. They chewed out his buttocks. What do I think would have happened if some full-sized male sapiens had presented his private parts for having sex with this 30-pound pygmy? Diamond asks. I would not have given much for the future of the private parts of that male sapiens. That's all for this week from Real Science. Thanks for listening. Keep thinking. And keep away from hobbits. They're not as cute as you thought they were.